Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Let's have a radio show, huh? Wednesday, April 30th, 2025, live from Capital One Arena, ahead of Game 5. Caps chance to clinch their best of seven series over the Canadiens tonight. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan, and we've got a monster show planned for you today. Danny, I will quickly run through the guest lineup.
Do it.
It is bountiful.
We'll have to go to break as soon as you're done. Because there's so many good guests.
It is powerful. We've got two Commanders draft picks on today. Running back Chikori Crosskey-Merritt stops by at 3. And wide receiver Hiahokee from Virginia Tech, Jalen Lane, is on the show at 4:30. He provides the speed that I wanted offensively.
Yeah.
They'll be on the program today. We'll also talk Commanders and the possibility of a stadium at the RFK site with D.C. City Councilwoman Brooke Pinto, who's kind enough to join us on site today. She's going to make the trip over to Capital One Arena. She'll be live at 5 o'clock, and we will also be previewing the Caps and the Canadians at 2:25 or so. Joe Beninati stops by the program, and at 5:30, Tariq El-Bashir of Monumental Sports will set the table for the Caps and the Canadians. So, a lot of football, plenty of hockey. We're covering everything you care about in D.C. and national sports. No reason to navigate away from us on G&D today. Some shows are bigger than others. This is one of those shows.
It's one of them, right? Caps up 3-1, a chance to do a thing they don't often do, to be frank with you. When it's step on the throat time, and listen, it's hockey. Part of it is, you know, good luck, bad luck, everything in between. But the history of this franchise, they haven't done a ton of these. This would be a great, big, awesome, outstanding step to convince, I think, a lot of fans that this is not any of the last 6 years. This is not what it's been like since they won the Stanley Cup and then have been bouncing the first round each time, looking kind of old and slow and tired and kind of barely hanging on or not even making the postseason a couple of years ago. This would go a long way to reaffirming what I think a lot of folks have already been in on, that this is a good club. This club is different than they've been over the last several years. This would be a great chance to do it against a young, up-and-coming Montreal team that's skated with them, frankly, and, you know, it has gotten the better of certain moments, but the Caps have been more mature. This would be a great nail in the coffin type moment here.
Clinching mid-series, and I would say, you know, games 4 and 5 are mid-series, 6 mm-hmm. and 7 are and, late yeah. in the series, is not something they do generally, to your point. But on top of that, they don't clinch at home very often. There was a nice piece written about this today at Russian Machine Never Breaks, but if you go back to the Cup run, all of their clinchers throughout that run took place on the road in 2018. In fact, all 6 of the Caps' most recent series wins came on the road. You got to go back a decade ago to 10 years back when Yevgeny Kuznetsov beat the Islanders in Game 7.
Oh, man.
With a video game-esque goal from the slot in front of the cage. That was the last time the Capitals sent everybody to the exits wearing their red at Capital One Arena onto the next round. So it would be an amazing accomplishment. Has not happened since 2015, even before the 10-year drought. If you go back in terms of home clinchers, the Caps have won most of their playoff series on the road. 8 of the franchise's 20 series wins have been at home, 12 on the road. So this would be a rare night and a really cool night in D.C. sports if they could pull it off.
That would be a master thing. And listen, Montreal's got, you know, the phrase nothing to lose is wrong. They have a series to lose, right? But what that means is they're going to be desperate. Every last gasp, every punch back, every, get up off the mat, Friday the 13th beginning. It's all the cliches are going to happen tonight. This is a desperate group here. They're young. They kind of don't know what they don't know. I expect a couple of tweaks, a couple of adjustments, but you are going to get their best bolt. And this would go a long way to getting a couple of days with your feet up to maybe, you know, then get after a really, really good opponent. And the Carolina Hurricanes are already clinched. But, yeah, I mean, this is not easy. It never is.
All signs point to Alexi Protas playing tonight for the Capitals, who was one of their best players in the regular season. Protas has not played in weeks, so it would be silly to assume he comes back tonight, Danny, and just looks like he did in the middle of the year. But he finished the regular season tied for third on the Capitals in scoring with 66 points in his 76 games. He was also, just from a sheer productivity standpoint, 5-on-5, one of the best players in the National Hockey League. 2.84 points per 60 minutes for him this season, fourth in the entire NHL behind names like David Pastrnak and Nikita Kucherov. I mean, he had an incredible year at even strength. You get him back, it helps your 5-on-5 play, which I actually think was marvelous in game 4 as they went up 3-1, and has been really good at home in the first two games of this series as well. But he's going to help them more than anything, I think, on the penalty kill, because that's been an issue for them. Certainly in Montreal, it was a problem. He's third on the team among their forwards in TOI on the PK. I think he's been a little bit of a missing link, but he will be back tonight. It sounds like nothing official, but all signs are pointing to that. And that then leads to the debate as to who comes out of the lineup. And this is something we'll be talking about throughout the show, but we've made it our G&D poll of the day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. I know what fans want, largely. That's not necessarily the reality of the debate, though, right? Fans would tell you, you can't take Ryan Leonard out of the lineup. He's too talented. He's too good. He's played too well. And some of that is true. But the way a coach thinks sometimes is, how do I affect the fewest amount of my players? How do I not affect as many lines? And the way that they could do that would be to just drop Protas onto the third line with Mangiapane and Eller, have Leonard come out, and then you keep the fourth line of Duhaime, Dowd, and Radish together, which has been your traditional fourth line all year. That's been very physical in this series and very good. But Radish seems to be the most obvious guy to just take out of the lineup, claw machine style, pick him up, drop him off to the side, and then you could move Leonard down to the fourth line and drop Protas into the third line, assuming you don't want to put him back on the first line with Ovi and Strome and move Bevilier down. Now you've affected three lines. So my guess is Radish comes out, Leonard goes down to the fourth line. Protas plays at least this first game to get his feet wet on the third line with Mangineller. But they've got some options. Our poll of the day, though, who do you think is going to come out? Who do you want to come out? And the debate really is Leonard versus Radish. Even though Eller maybe has been their weakest player, certainly offensively, I'm sorry, guys, they're not taking a defensive-minded center in the bottom six out and moving the guy that's leading the team in goals in this series, Connor McMichael, from wing to center. You're asking for a major change to be made.
Too much of a shakeup there.
No, don't do that. This team's really good. They've outplayed Montreal in 3 games. Make the least amount of ripple effects possible to get your really good player Protas back in the lineup.
So the thing that I would do is take out Protas. Take out Radish, put in Protas on the third line, and drop Leonard down. What I'm worried about is that this is I got a kid. You know, we're talking about clinching stuff. The guy's never done any of this. This is all sort of the first week, the first time stepping into the deep end. The first time. Let me get a bit more experience. And you just take Leonard out and drop Protas onto that third line. That's what I'm worried about. And I want Leonard. I'm thinking about this year, but also the future. These experiences are invaluable to him. I know Carberry can't necessarily weigh that kind of stuff, but yeah. I get to as a fan. I have way more luxury than the actual decision makers, so that's my fear.
So you had me until the last part, to be honest with you. You're going to get what you want, I think. What I'm hearing is it sounds like Radish will sit. Leonard will be in and play on the fourth line. Mm-hmm. I don't care at all about the future tonight or in this series. That stopped when the playoffs started. This team has a chance to win a Stanley Cup. So whatever you can do to have the best shift every time guys are on the ice and have the best chance to finish this thing so that it doesn't get squirrely. Remember, they were up 3-2 on Carolina and lost the series going back to 2019. They haven't gotten out of the first round since 2018. They had a 3-1 series lead like they do right now on a Montreal team, much like this one, back in 2010 and lost the series. So I'm all about the best possible lineup for tonight and winning this game. I just happen to think that that's Leonard and probably not Radish. But look, the beauty of it is you're going to have somebody waiting in the wing. So if somebody has a bad game, you know, whether that's Doggy Duhaime a couple times in a row, or maybe Leonard, who played a season low and a team low 9+ minutes in game 4 in Montreal, for whatever reason, if somebody struggles, Radish goes back in. That guy comes out. You should be able to keep everybody's legs pretty fresh throughout this run if need be. But go vote. Poll of the day at Grant H. Paulson and at 106.7 The Fan. Who comes out for Protus to go in? Before we get into the Commanders, off the beaten path just a tad. Watched a bunch of NBA playoffs the last couple of nights. It's been really, really good for the most part.
Yeah.
Tyrese Halliburton hit a game-winning, driving, beautiful shot off the dribble, beat Giannis into the lane, beat him to the glass, laid a ball in with 1.3 seconds to go in overtime, down a point. Indiana gets a win last night, and the Pacers at home basically walk off the Bucks, right? They advance. They're on to the next round. After that game winner, okay, there was 1 second left in the game. Almost immediately, Tyrese Halliburton's dad walked out onto the floor holding a flag and got in the face of and trolled Giannis Antetokounmpo. They ended up getting forehead to forehead and talking trash to each other. Cooler heads prevailed. They were separated. Thank God it was Giannis, who I think is one of the most respectable, decent human beings in sports, based on some of the answers I've seen from him over the years at the mic. A lot of players would have swung in a lot of different sports on a dad of a player talking trash to you in your face. I don't know exactly what he's saying.
So who knows? Like in real time, I don't know if Giannis even knows it's his dad. I mean, you'd assume maybe.
He's very. I know it's his dad, and I don't watch that much basketball.
So I didn't at first when I see the clip.
That surprises me because he's always doing whatever this is.
Well, I mean, he's not always walking on the court trash talking a 7-foot MVP. But
no,
I see
but if
point.
You watch like one Pacers game, they show him 14 times.
Yeah,
like,
I don't. It's not.
He's a mascot.
It's not the kind of thing that I can keep track of or care about at all. But anyway,
it is very NBA. Yeah, you'll admit.
Of course. And the point is, like, we are so lucky that this wasn't way worse. First of all, get off the court immediately at all times.
But don't you think
away.
There are a lot of guys in the sport that would have swung?
100%.
And we would have had a Jermaine O'Neal swinging on a fan moment and, you know, the biggest black mark on Giannis's career. And he would have done, other than the actual punching, very little wrong. Fans should not be on the court.
Yep.
Parents of players should not be on the court.
Especially.
This is one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen. And the only thing as embarrassing as his dad going out on the floor to celebrate the win and getting in the face of a player are people defending it. That's the unserious nature of this sport sometimes. It's not even the action, because the action can happen and one guy can do something stupid. It's after the fact when now we're going to debate it in media circles. And, well, he's a supportive dad or whatever the stupid
comment is. So many proud dads are in their seats.
I can't believe this happened. He should not be allowed to go to a game for the rest of the playoffs. That's easy. That one is that quick for me. The question is, should he ever be allowed to go to a game again, ever? And I could probably be talked into some type of, one season suspension or ban or whatever, but you're not sitting in the lower bowl. You're not getting near the court. I think this is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen.
Now, I the credit I will give here is afterwards, everybody has said and done the right thing. There is contrition from the Halliburtons, correctly. Thank goodness.
Tyrese, I saw at the podium. What did his father say?
He admitted later, hey, that was wrong. Heat of the moment. I shouldn't have done that. So I'm paraphrasing. Thank goodness. So that is a nice first step. Now, people have been contrite after they were caught doing stuff, and I'm not saying this is a crime, but you know what I mean. You still did the thing. So the thing that you did is very ban-worthy. Enough. So you don't get to come to any more playoff games. So
what's your punishment?
It'd be the rest of the postseason, I would say.
That one's easy. Is that it?
And then in future, if I'm the Pacers, I would go, we love Tyrese. He's wonderful. He's our superstar, played on the Olympic team. Let's get you a suite. Let's get you a suite. Let's get you comfortable up there. I know you guys have the routine where after the game, Tyrese comes over and gives you a hug. You'll be able to see him after the game, we promise. We'll get you down close to the locker room. Afterwards, when everything is over, team responsibilities are done, we'll handle it that way. But let's get you sweet. Let's get you off the court. Let's get you away. Let's not have you be any kind of a distraction ever again. Because now, whether you like it or not, whether it's fair or not, now people are going to look, right? I mean, that was my big beef with, I forget who it was. Actually, I know before these allegations came out, but when Shannon Sharp was at whatever game it was, where he's like stepping to somebody and they're yelling and they're going back and forth, or Stephen A. Smith, whoever it was, I've now forgotten. But, like, you don't get to do that. You don't get to become the story. Now when you're anywhere, everyone's staring at you.
Yeah.
Right? So this is a slightly different circumstance. But now Mr. Halliburton is kind of a sideshow. The Pacers need to be about the Pacers. And I would say, let's work that out together where you are away from prying eyes and no longer maybe holding that Tyrese Halliburton flag and getting in people's faces, whether you mean to or not. Let's just remove the potential for distraction. That's how I'd work it out.
Minor part of this story, that was maybe the highlight to this point of Halliburton's career, that he hit the game winner to clinch a playoff series.
Huge. I mean, he's long been a really good player that really hasn't had that signature thing. That's what that was last night.
And nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, you're right.
In fact, if you search Tyrese Halliburton on the internet, as I did today, or if you search him on a Twitter search bar, all that comes up is what his dad did. He was robbed of his great moment in so many ways after the fact last night. Now, that is not the biggest problem with him going on the floor, but I say all the time, I know I'm unfun and you guys hate this take in this regard. Storming the court shouldn't be allowed. We are asking for major problems when college students are down on the floor getting in the face of professional athletes. But generally, when you watch court storming or field storming, it's kids. It's college-aged kids having the best night of their life. Many of them have been drinking or hanging out and carrying on. And you're asking for a lot of problems. But almost never is it grown-ups. And if it is, do the adults get in the face of the players who just had this terrible moment where they're angry and upset and they've just been eliminated? So thank goodness it wasn't worse. I think Giannis's decency is the reason why. By the way, he also apologized after the fact to Mr. Halliburton. Hilarious to me. Hey, sorry I was at my place of work and you came up and got in my face in an unacceptable way. It's just embarrassing. I really hope the league comes down hard and does something very serious, because I think you've got to take this as an opportunity to say, we're not sideshow league. You know, the knock, perception, reality, whatever you think it is that the league can largely be unserious, that it's Stephen A. Smith beefing with LeBron, or as you said, it's Shannon Sharp calling someone out. It's, you know, players yelling at fans and vice versa. Here's your chance to go, not up in here. We're not doing that, buddy. Sorry, you can't come to any more games for the rest of the playoffs. I won't go full Ryan Clark. I saw where he said Halliburton should never be allowed to attend another Pacers game. I think that's a better punishment than nothing, though. Like, if you told me they
you get to choose nothing or ban.
If they just let him come back to the next game like nothing happened, or he's never allowed back in the arena, it's more reasonable that he would never be allowed back in the arena. But I will sign up for rest of the postseason, you're banned, and we'll have a hearing and revisit it after the fact. Let's talk about your contrition. It's easy to send off a tweet, and let's see how you can conduct yourself. Also, I'd have to dig in a little bit more on the history. Again, I know all the different times where they're showing him and whatever else. He's not going like full Drake where he's listening in on huddles and stuff like that. But it's not like this is a guy that I've never heard of, some random player's dad. Like, the odds on FanDuel were in the minus that he was the one on the floor last night.
Right.
So, man, I saw that and I thought, what a dumb thing. This great moment for Tyrese finally gets his. He was named the most overrated player in like a player vote or something by FanDuel, I think it was. And you saw him tweet out still overrated or whatever. This should have been his big night.
That's right.
And instead, he's going to have to answer questions about his dad. And it became a terrible night media-wise for him.
Yeah, as they clinched, they did something that, you know, people weren't necessarily sure was going to happen. They were the better team in this series against a group with championship aspirations. I know Damian Lillard getting hurt really, you know, sort of solidified that the Pacers were the better team. But that's a big moment, man. You know, against an MVP caliber player who's got a championship ring and who, you know, still one of the three or four best players in the world, according to most experts, to be able to step up and do that, that should be your arrival time. That should be your shine time. That should be, you know, what everybody's talking about is, you know, the next day on the Shouty shows, has Halliburton ascended into the top whatever now after that kind of moment, after he dispatched Giannis and company. Instead, it's, where's that going to sit? That's a shame.
I want to get into the Commanders draft class. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. We have not gotten a chance to get deep with you guys and take real calls on how you felt. So what we'll do next, Danny, I want you to come up with a word that sums up how you feel about the class. Fill in the blank. A one-word summary of how you feel about this draft class Adam Peters put together. And we'll open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067 next. We have Jakorre Merritt, the running back drafted out of Arizona by the Commanders, coming up at 3. Joe Beninati at 3:30. We're live at Capital One Arena, Caps Canadians, Game 5, a possible home clincher tonight right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Not so much that's something you want to target, but I do think, you know, myself and probably a lot of people, you know, you're able to get more conviction on a player if you see him in person and you're around him more and you kind of understand. And it could be conviction either way, conviction that you do really like him or conviction that you don't like him as much for your team. So I do think that helps a lot. And all the touch points you have, I think, you know, I believe in that. Not every team believes in that, and, you know, to each their own. But for me personally, for me to, you know, that helps quite a bit. So to see him at a game, to see him at the Senior Bowl, to we interviewed him at the Combine, came on a 30 visit. So, you know, all those things help.
General Manager Adam Peters after putting together a five-player draft class. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan live from Capital One Arena ahead of the place to be tonight for DC Sports. Caps, Canadians, Game 5, a chance for the first home clincher in 10 years. All of our playoff coverage for the Capitals on the show brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. For over 25 years, Ace Trim's been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV. They specialize in full-service interior trim carpentry, handling everything from supply to installation, turnkey and hassle-free. Contact acetrim.com today. That's Ace Trim, the home builder's trade partner. Danny, the Commanders draft class, they did not trade back, so you could ding them there if you want to because they didn't add picks. They did not draft an edge, maybe the only hole in their operation. but it's hard to argue much with the picks they made when they were on the clock, the idea behind the picks. So we're looking for a word from everybody at 800-636-1067 to sum up your feelings on this draft class.
Athletic. That's what I come back to. We now know what their type is. Year one, it may have been, okay, well, this is what they're trying to do this year. Maybe there's a theme going forward. No.
That's just how the board fell.
Yeah, right. No. Like there's different different variables. You kind of don't know. Now we're two for two in terms of sample size. I got a good feeling. We'll better be able to predict. We talked about this. Not in a bad way, but you get to know the personality, you get to know the proclivities of the executives. Do they like, production over upside or traits over this or whatever you're weighing and balancing? Now looking forward, I'm gonna go. And when I start looking at the different prospects on the various boards, I'm going to that RAS, that raw athletic score composite, right? Which measures everything that you did from the 10 yard to the shuttle, to the 40, to the vertical jump, broad jump, everything in between, what size you are relative to the position. And it lets you know, is this guy bigger than average, quicker than average, stronger than average, faster than average? And if the answer is yes, in most part, you get one of those green scores, which says they're athletic and it's an elite RAS score. Washington drafted five guys that are all in the green. That's their type.
Successful. I think this was a success of a draft. Adding Connerly at 29, while not what I was predicting or projecting, makes perfect sense. That's another word I would use, right, is mindful. Or it did make sense. You can kind of look at every pick and you go, oh, yeah, they had a need there or they needed that. And it was predictable in a sense, even if we didn't see the Connerly move coming, because your number one asset's Jaden Daniels and you have to protect him. So now your strength is perhaps having bookend tackles for years to come with Laramie Tunsil on the left and Connerly on the right. I thought the Amos pick was fantastic. I did not think he'd be available at 61. In fact, never mocked him to them for that reason. I thought he'd be gone early to mid second round. That was a good value play. They had to get twitchy and speedier at wide receiver. I thought replacing Alamide Zaccheaus would be nice, getting someone who could do some of the bubble and smoke stuff on the outside and do some of the gadget jet stuff in the backfield. Enter Jalen Lane, who's going to be on the show in 2 hours today at 4:30. And then, look, when you make a pick at the end of round six or into the end of round seven, if the guy makes the team, great. And that's Kane Medrano, the linebacker. Maybe you get some team's contributions from. And the running back we're going to have on in about a half hour, Ja'Cory Merritt out of Arizona. Not speedy, not the back I was looking for, but a guy that kind of fits in with what they've got in the room, powerful, one cut, gets up the field. He's the kind of dude, honestly, that if he was drafted in San Fran by Kyle Shanahan, I bet you he'd have like 900 yards this year after some, the first injury to Christian McCaffrey. And next thing you know, in week six, he gets a start and he goes for like 126 on Sunday Night Football. Like, he's that kind of fit and runner. He's going to have some success in the league if he gets an opportunity. But I just thought it was a smart draft. It's not perfect for me because I would have loved to have had my cake and also ate it. Here I am telling you, I like the Connerly pick and I like the Amos pick. Well, if that's true, there's nowhere else you could have traded back and gotten much value. If you came back from Lane, even if you picked him up 10, 15 picks later, you're not really adding much. You're getting another special teams type player, maybe in the mid to late fifth round. So they had a choice, either take less than 100 cents on the dollar or stay put and get two real starters. But I do think it's very possible that they got two impact players and that's it, and maybe three guys that help them ultimately at any point when we look back in 5 years. Like, if Medrano is a hit, that's a huge win. If they get anything out of Merritt, I think that's a big success. Connerly and Amos, you got to be right on. Lane is kind of a tweener because of where he was drafted, but that's the job. You got to find a way to get guys that can help you into the deep round.
You need some of those wins, yeah. So I have a working theory. I will never be able to prove this theory, and I'll never probably get enough evidence to debunk or anything else. I'm just sort of in between on it, but here's my thought. I think if Amos had gone where a lot of us thought he would, which is maybe at the end of round one or early certainly in round two, I think they would have been more aggressive in trading back. I think they just kind of couldn't believe that this dude was there as good a prospect as he was. Again, I thought he was long off the board. I think they probably did too. And I think they kind of went, well, we got to do this, right? Instead of, I'm just making this up. Instead of the 81st pick and, the 102nd pick and taking someone's complimentary extra third round or comp pick, we'll take this guy who's going to start for us at some point, probably. I mean, the way we think of starters at cornerback needs to be updated, I think. So you start three, you play four. Sometimes it's five, depends on if a guy's versatile or not. But that guy's going to see the field, and I think early. I think they couldn't believe it. So if he wasn't there and it was just regular end of the second round, I think they might have traded back. And again, I can't prove that.
Yeah, that's very possible, but we'll just never know what they were offered. Now, I saw people saying, you know how badly they wanted to trade back, so the fact that they drafted him tells you how much they loved him. Well, maybe. Or nobody called, right? Mm-hmm. Or somebody offered them 65 cents on the dollar and they said, no, we're good. That could also have been the case. Nate's in D.C. on Grant and Danny joining us on the listener lines. Nate, you get one word to sum up this draft class. What would you go with?
I'm going to say it in my Mike Tyson voice. I would have to say it's static.
Static.
It's static.
To be honest, I think it's bar understood amongst many of us fans that we did well in the draft. They might not have gone where some of us wanted us to go, but we did very well. And Adam Peters is trustworthy as far as like selections that he makes via draft, free agency. And so it's just about seeing this offense and this defense in motion now, like just in live action, like, you know, the anticipation of Christmas Eve and all of that. So that's all.
Well, Peters is trustworthy, to your point, and has earned the benefit of the doubt with how he's operated. He's been here 1 year, and they've been to an NFC championship game and just had their best season of my lifetime in over 30 years watching this team. But while that is true, and I'll set that to the side for a second, the issue isn't necessarily that he didn't make the right picks or maybe didn't do what they needed to do when they were on the clock. It's still, he only made five picks, and two of the five picks were from the end of the sixth round on. So effectively, the part of the draft where you normally add helpers, guys that are actually going to contribute, they made three picks.
Yep.
The part of the draft where you generally, I'm just playing the averages, talking percentages here, where you get potential stars, they only made two picks. And I'm not unreasonable. You're not going to get to make eight of those generally. You're not going to make, but it's just a lighter haul than normal. So when you walk in to the store and you only buy one chocolate bar, the chance that you get a golden ticket is not going to be as good as someone buying two or three chocolate bars. And that's kind of the issue that keeps me from saying A+ is it just was never going to be an A+ draft, probably based on you weren't going to be able to fix as many problems as I would have liked. But Connerly at tackle makes you a better football team. Amos, if he is who we think he is at corner, and either Sandra still gets kicked inside, or maybe Marshawn Lattimore, if it doesn't work out and he doesn't become what they think he's going to be in a bounce back year, maybe he's now your third corner if he continues to struggle. But it's okay. You've got a safety net here because Amos is going to play at a high level. So I really, really like what they did strategically when they picked. For me, it's just a matter of the quantity. And it's just hard for me to get ready to throw a parade when you took three guys in the top 200.
Yeah, I think that's all fair, that assessment, right? So,
by the way, I would have done it the same way. Not to cut you off, I'm sorry, It sounds like I'm hating on the draft.
Why do you hate the draft so much?
I'd rather have Laremy Tunsil and Marshawn Lattimore and Josh Connerly, Trey Amos, Jalen Lane than not Laremy Tunsil, not Marshawn Lattimore, Connerly, Amos, and two or three other rookies. Like, I'm four. I would have traded the Amos pick and gotten Trey Hendrickson. I told you that before the draft.
Yeah, I mean, the only one I'm not sure about now is Lattimore, but that's still, I understand why they did it, and I was in favor of it at the time, but now I don't know. But I'll give up my fifth-round pick for Deebo Samuel every time. I'll do it tomorrow if I get the chance to. So I think you're right. When you look at it, the totality, how did you spend your picks? Yes, on players, but you also spent your picks on acquiring other guys that have already been in the league. I know it costs more in terms of contract and salary, but that's kind of the point. You're using your chips.
Also notable here, I try to grade, if I'm going to use that word, or critique drafts from a philosophical standpoint, not a eval standpoint. What I mean is, when you were on the clock, what did you do in terms of position? What did you address? How does it fit into your football team? Because I don't know enough about all of these players. I can watch the same highlight packages. The one benefit for us in the media is I can reach out to people that are in the know that I have access to and get some strong takes and opinions that way. But mostly when I'm critiquing a draft right after the fact, I'm not trying to quibble with Adam Peters or the really smart scouts about the quality of the player if I haven't seen him a ton. It's more about, what did you address? Like, what was your idea? What position did you attack, et cetera? Scott in Silver Spring, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you? Scott, you there? You're on the radio. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, fellas. What's up?
Hey, man.
Yeah, I was going to touch on what I say great, and I was going to touch on a little bit of what Grant said. It's like we got Debo through the draft, not you know what I mean. And we
that's
got
another one. Larry. I didn't name him. Right, great. Yeah. Throw him onto the pile, said, yeah. Ernie Grunfeld yeah. style. Debo's on draft.
He's our fifth round pick.
So you got Debo. You got you know Tunsil. You got Lattimore. I mean, I got no problem with rocking that way, trying to win right now.
And I also listen to Mel Kiper and the Talking Heads, but I really don't listen. But I heard what Nick Saban said about Amos. I heard what other coaches said about Connerly. And if you remember last year, Nick Saban spoke very highly of Sanistrill. And he spoke just as highly about Amos. So,
yeah. I think Saban last year, thanks for the call, brother. I think he said that he liked Sanistrill as his best pound-for-pound player in the draft, something like that. He loved that pick, and he was right. I mean, Mikey was – he's a dog, and he is a culture-changing defensive player that meant a lot to them on the back end. He's only going to get better. AJ and Bethesda, you're on G&D. What's up?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I the last caller said exactly what I was going to say is, yes, I understand five picks, and my word for it would be speed. Athleticism or speed, you could use either word, right? But these guys are trying to get faster and bring real athletes to the table, even with the later round prospects. But I agree with the last caller. You didn't just get those five. You got Debo with your fifth round pick. And I'll tell you what, right now, if he comes in and does what he's supposed to do, I'll take that production versus what we're likely to see a guy coming out in the fifth round at wide receiver and that production.
Thanks, buddy.
I think that's precisely the balance, right, you're talking about. Now, sometimes a fifth rounder turns out to be somebody incredible. I mean, I remember Alfred Morris was, what, a sixth rounder? And I remember talking to him, you know, around training camp time. Maybe you think he'd make the team as a fullback before he set the rushing record.
Alfred Morris here. From?
Florida Atlantic.
Attaboy.
Boom, goes the dynamite.
There's Danny Hoohey. Danny Houtier.
Danny Houtier.
Put him on the board. Yes, we're live at Capital One Arena. Caps Canadians tonight. Game five. Caps with a chance to clinch. Wait till you hear how much trouble the Falcons got in for being involved in the Shedeur Sanders prank call inadvertently. We're Grant and Danny.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Caps Canadians, game five tonight from Capital One Arena. I am jacked up to be here. Got the Caps hoodie on. It's chilly in this barn. Danny dressed for the summer. It was hot outside.
Yeah, it's hot outside. I'm coaching my son has a makeup game tonight for soccer. So I'm going straight there from the arena. So I'll be fine for that. But God, I even thought about it. It's like, I'll bring a jacket. But it's like, no, I'm going to have to go through all this stuff to get up here. I always wander around this building like a lost child. I can never figure out which way to go. So I don't want to bring lug a coat around. And now I'm regretting it.
By the way, soccer game tonight. My guy, proud uncle moment over here.
Oh, this is okay.
Four goal streak. 4-game goal streak?
That's right.
Let's make it 5.
That's right. So that's my oldest has his 4-goal streak.
Oh, that's not what's happening
today. No, not tonight.
So very uninvolved uncle. That's what I...
No, you're still allowed to be proud.
Proud uncle over here. Knows everything about the boys. I keep up with them. Send them birthday cards.
Am I right?
Wrong child, right?
Yeah, but that's totally fair. You're forgiven.
But how about that? 4-game goal streak,
dude,
for the lad.
For a guy that mostly plays fullback. I mean, playing defense and somehow has ended up in scoring chances.
So if we're doing a who's going to score a goal for the Vipers or whatever their team is.
That's right.
Draft like we're going to do for the Capitals tonight. You might want to take him. He's on a heater.
Well, so here's what I would say is it may not be the smartest pick just because the luck has to run out at some point. But
give me a comp. A Capitals player, it would be like them scoring a goal 4 straight games.
Okay. I'm looking.
Defenseman, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But we're not going all the way to like TVR who never scores, or Martin Ferravari who's hurt and doesn't have a chance to score, or Rasmus Sandin. Is it like a
it's
Carlson?
It's in between, not this year's Carly.
Okay.
So it's like a 4 years ago Carly.
Okay.
I would say
more goals.
Yeah. So he's going to score, but 4 straight games with a goal? That seems odd.
If he's Carly, then he'll score and it'll get taken away. Via review.
Yeah, after review, they'll VAR that thing.
Do they,
take it
do
right
they
off.
Have the VAR?
Yeah, they don't at the 11-year-old level.
Let's go to the phone. Sean's in Falls Church. What's to hop in on Grant and Danny? What's up, Sean?
Hey, appreciate you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I would love Protus to be back, be healthy, everything like that. A guy scoring 4 in a row, you guys were just talking about it, that I would expect and or, you know, kind of do it. Beauvillier, he's the kind of guy that he sparks it. He does it. But when it comes to Protus coming back into the starting lineup, I kind of want him on the second line. I want Dubois, Wilson, Protus. We'll take McMichael, throw him down on the third line, take out Leonard, and then have one lines 1 and 4 stay the same. I like Beauvillier in the first. I like the fourth line. They're just, you know,
Sean, you're making a lot of changes for a team up 3-1. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you, dude.
And love that you're excited about tonight. Hope I see you here at the arena. Come on by when you get in, 106, 107 in the concourse, those sections. That's where we're sitting. But it seems like, and I see this on social media too, people are like, take Lars Eller out, move McMichael over. So now you're affecting line 2, which has been awesome. McMichael, Dubois, Wilson. You're changing the center of line 3, who's been there since they acquired him via trade early in the season, Lars Eller. You're putting McMichael not on the wing, but at center, a new position where defensively he's not going to be as sound as Lars Eller, even though he gives you way more offensively. They're not down 3-1 in the series. They're also getting chances. They've outchanced them at high danger massively.
Yeah, who's had more chances than McMichael? I'm not changing a thing about that guy.
Ovi, Strome, and Beauvillier, and he mentioned Beauvillier, might be their best player in the series offensively. They've been amazing. It's why you probably don't thrust Protus right back into the mix for this first or even maybe his second game. You make him get his sea legs back under him first. So I just disagree a little bit with the logic, and I don't mean him as much as a lot of the Caps fans I'm seeing online who want to make these significant sweeping changes. We could talk to Joe Beninati about this. He's going to join the show coming up a little bit after 2:25, closing in on 2:30. I want to ask Joe B when he stops by, A, is it official that Protus will play tonight? What's he hearing? And B, who's going to be out and what are the lines going to look like? He'll have that answer for us. Real quick on the Falcons, because I teased that. I want to pay that off. They got fined $250,000 today for the son of defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich getting the number for Shador Sanders and then using it with his buddies to prank him in their dorm at school.
Yeah.
Ulbrich himself, $100,000 he was fined. Think about being fined by your job $100,000 or costing your company a $250,000 fine.
Oh, man.
And not losing your job.
Oh, man. That I don't think you'd see that for old Randy, do you, if I foul up like that.
What would your punishment be for your kids if you got fined $100,000 because they did one of the dumbest things ever? Not just something that makes you question their character and hate in the moment the way that they acted. I don't think you can hate your kid. But what they did, you hate. I mean, it's an embarrassing, terrible thing that you would prank this guy who's fallen in the draft. But on top of that, just a jerk thing to do, you filmed it.
You filmed it.
That's even more stupid. Hey, do the thing that's awful, but make sure you film it and it might get shown online in your lowest moment that everybody can see it. God, I'd be so mad. And then I got to pay $100,000?
Yeah, on top of that.
Oh, bro, you're grounded forever.
Man, because obviously the kid doesn't have any money, but that's what I would tell him. It's like, you know, you're going to work off that debt for me. somehow. I don't know what you're going to do, but let's that $100,000 is now it's you're in the red on that one. I would say this just as a quick side. The issue to me, I actually would have fined the Falcons more here. It's not about the prank phone call sucks and the kid should be punished accordingly. The parents will handle that. And the coach, of course, should be punished, rightfully so. But we need to take way more seriously the fact that there was just this whoopsie daisy with sensitive data. Like, No. That's a no. And this one was harmless, and I think it's relatively so. Obviously, again, there is a victim in all this. It's someone that got prank called when they're trying to live out their dreams. But again, that's a relatively small infraction compared to what could have happened. You need to take that way more seriously. So I would have been a bit more punitive if I was in the NFL.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Joe B is joining us in about 35 minutes. Remember, we've got Councilwoman Brooke Pinto on today. It sounds like she's pro the stadium. We'll talk to her from Capital One Arena coming up at 5 o'clock here on The Fan. But next, Jacory Crosskey Merritt, the running back out of Arizona, Washington, drafted in round 7. We'll get to know the newest commander next on The Fan.